Blog Talk Radio.
We're a nation of haters under their control. Rise up everybody and burn down the system. Fails the exit pool. Wake up the silence.
And welcome to the Star Chamber Show for a very, very special episode. Tonight is going to get a little bit centered on the fine river city of Louisville, and tonight's guests are just absolutely fabulous, and we're going to be getting to them pretty quick here. We're not going to be doing a whole lot of news, but Alexander Brown is on the line with us as one of the co-hosts. And it does look like Michael West has joined us for the evening. So, yes, it's the three of us, three amigos, co-hosting. None of the girls are with us tonight, unfortunately. So hopefully next week Susan and Sayla will be back. But I do want to say,
the
yes.
The draw of Sharknado was just too much for them.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Well, see, if we started the show talking about Sharknado. Go ahead.
Someone asked, well, what should we eat while watching Sharknado? I'm like, sushi? Duh.
Oh, man. I tell you. Well, that's good that we started with Sharknado because it can only get better from here. So it can only get better. It's important, I think, for communities to have a very vibrant event scene, and I think that tonight's show exemplifies that because we're going to be bringing you a couple of very distinctively different events, both in scale and nature, and we're going to be talking with the actual founders of these two wonderful events in Louisville. And both of them are coming up this weekend, and both of them have a ton to offer, and both of the groups that we're going to be talking with, I have an immense amount of respect for, and definitely have a lot of affection for, and actually our first guest, I had the opportunity last year to be a part of their event, and it's absolutely fabulous, and I definitely encourage folks to definitely check it out. Unfortunately, this year, because of the way the scheduling worked, I had already pre-committed to doing literary track services, and for the second event we'll be talking about tonight. So unfortunately, my schedule conflicted this year, so that was kind of a real bummer. But I know that Jerry Benz of Karen Coin Press is working on how to bilocate and clone, and he's promised to share with me that technology when he gets it down so that I can be two people, hopefully, next year. So,
I still need that.
We will see. And I want to give a shout-out to author Chris Brown because he's hanging out with us tonight, one of our diehard listeners, great author, great convention guest, and really, really great guy all around, and also a fan of good quality heavy metal music too. So, I know he's listening tonight. So, but anyway, we'll go ahead and get to our first guest. The Business of Writing International Summit in Louisville is entering its third year this year, and it's coming up this very weekend in Louisville, Kentucky, and the people involved with this are just wonderful. Peggy and Larry Decay, and are just two people that I have the utmost respect for, and I just think they're first-class individuals, and I'm really, really excited. Definitely want to have them on the show multiple times, but I'm very excited to have them on the show tonight. And so I'd like to, without further ado, right here, right now, welcome Larry Decay and Peggy Decay to the Star Chamber Show. You guys are live.
Hey, man, can you hear Steven?
I can hear you.
Hear
I can hear you
Steven,
right here, right now.
Hi, Steven.
How's it going?
Good, good.
Can you hear Peggy?
I know convention
okay?
prep is a hard thing, so I my heart's out to you because I know how these things go. And so I know you guys are already exhausted even heading into the weekend. So, but tell us how things are going and how things are looking for the weekend.
This is the third annual Business Writing International Summit, and I have to correct you on one detail, Stephen. You actually spoke at the first and the second summit.
Yes, I did.
And you're a great speaker. If you ever have the opportunity to hear Stephen speak, you really need to listen to him. He does an excellent job. This year's summit is Friday and Saturday, August 1st and 2nd. In Louisville, Kentucky, and we tout the summit as being the most unique writers' conference in the nation because we focus on two goals at the summit. One, how to grow an author's platform, and two, how to grow your book sales. And that's the focus of the summit. We do have a few craft classes, we have multi-track programming over 2 days. We have 30 sessions this year, and we focus on book marketing, on social media, on small press and self-publishing. And and we have speakers come in. We have 20 different speakers this year coming in from all across the nation, and we even had an overseas speaker in our first year. So that's what the summit's about. It's and you know, we only recruit the top talent. That's why Steve's been there for 2 years in a row.
Well, tell us about some of the guests that you have lined up for this particular summit. Because I mean, the guest quality is fantastic at the summit, and I mean, these people really know their stuff. And yeah, and I know that you've got some good ones lined up. So yeah, feel free to let us know about a couple of them.
Okay, Hobie and Kathy Dunn will be there, and they're going to be on Thursday. I'm teaching a full-day workshop on how to self-publish your book, and Hobie and Kathy are world-renowned, really, book designers. They've worked for Jack Canfield. They've designed books for New York Times best-selling authors. They're very, very high profile, and she's actually going to do two presentations. Hobie's going to do one, and she's going to do the other, and they're going to tell us everything we need to know about how to design a great book cover. So we're really looking forward to that, and Kathy will actually be doing a 20-minute demonstration or a talk within my self-publishing workshop on Thursday. Then we've got Robert Brewer. Robert Brewer is the editor for F&W Media. F&W Media are the folks that put out Writer's Digest magazine, and most of your readers or your listeners will recognize Writer's Magazine and Writer's Digest. And he's going to be talking, I forget what he's going to talk about. He's going to talk about how to find more success blogging, how to find publishing opportunities. So our keynote speaker this year is Mark Wayne Adams. He's a children's author out of Florida. He's won over 30 awards. He's a children's illustrator, but he's an extraordinary marketer, and he is somebody that you want to see because when he does a presentation, he'll have his easel there, and he'll be drawing while he's talking. So we're real excited to see him. And let me just give you a few of the classes. We've got business tips for writers. We've got a lady, Carol Topp, and she's going to be talking about taxes, how do I treat my taxes if I'm going to be a writer and I'm taking this thing seriously. So John Smith is going to be there, and he's going to talk about writer's block, and he's actually here with us today, tonight, while we're talking. And Dave Mattingly is going to talk about how to do things on the cheap. He talked about that last year, and it was backed by popular demand. Victorine Lesky is going to be there, and she is a New York Times best-selling self-published author. She was our keynote speaker last year, and people loved her. And she's going to talk about the do's and don'ts. No, am I ready to publish? She's going to do a presentation on am I ready to publish. So that kind of gives you some of the highlights. I don't know if there's a couple things Larry may want to tell you about.
Mark Wayne Adams will also be talking about public speaking. We've got Maria Smith with Thompson Shore, who is a Offset Press book publisher. That's another feature that we have here at the summit every year is we have an exhibitor showcase, and we have exhibitors come in from around the country. And this year we have about 25 exhibitors, three of whom are Offset Press printers of books: Thompson Shore, Sheridan, and Total Printing Systems is going to be there. And Maria Smith with Thompson Shore is going to be talking about how to communicate with an offset printer to talk to them intelligently about printing your book when you're self-publishing. Amy Collins with New Shelves Distribution is going to be here. She's going to talk about the transition from author to publisher to having a successful book. She also talks about placement of your book in big box stores like Costco, Kmart, Walmart. We've got Brian Judd with APPS. That's the Association of Publishers for Special Sales. And he talks about niche marketing and he'll be talking about, marketing your book through gift shops, through to corporations, marketing your book when it's an incentive to buy another product. Selling your book to schools, to hospitals, to different industries. There's a tremendous market there. You just have to think outside the box, and that's one thing we pride ourselves on at the summit, is trying to get people to think outside the box.
And as far, one thing that struck me, just being there, is just how, it's got an intimate, really relaxed kind of feel where it's very easy to talk to your experts. And, for instance, last year I had a great visit with your guest from Smashwords, and just an absolute delight to talk to him, and he had a lot of just fabulous insights that, helped me a lot, even as, in terms of, the publishing business. And but as far as the environment goes, I think that's something, I think I'd like you to talk a little about, to emphasize, because it is a good environment for, meeting, talking to people and getting to pick some brains.
We pride ourselves on that, Stephen, and we refer to it, Peggy and I, as being a high-energy writers' conference. And for those of your listeners who have been to a conventional writers' conference, they oftentimes have a rather funereal atmosphere about them. And very, very
– funereal?
Yeah. Hey, I've waited a long time to use that word, okay?
Okay.
And they're low energy, and people are excited when they're at the summit. And I think once they walk out of the keynote address, they're realizing, oh my gosh, I'm really going to learn something here. And by the end of the first day, they're just blown away. They're overwhelmed. John Smith is here with us. He's one of our speakers from Highland, Illinois, over by St. Louis. He's going to be talking about
writer's block,
and I'm going to let him share with you a quote that we used in our marketing this year that he offered up about how many notes he took and I think that'll put things in perspective. But we want to energize the people that attend. We want to pump them up and send them out, realizing that if they apply themselves and they all they have to do is take a little bit of what they learned at the summit and implement it, and it will help lead them to success in their marketing. And you know, if you want to meet with success, you got to sell books, and that's what we want to do, is educate our audience on how to sell books. I think part of our success is the size of the event. We're just under 100 attendees. We're all together at Indiana Wesleyan University. We're on two floors. The classrooms are, you know, right across the hall from each other, right next door to each other. So there's that when people are changing classes every hour, you've got a choice between three or four classes. And then, you know, every session is 50 minutes long, and then people change classes. It's kind of like being back in high school or college again. And there is that level of excitement that is contagious on the part of the people.
Yeah, it's good food. We have a great goodie bag this year. And all of our speakers, you know, we want them to be accessible. We make sure that they know that they are going to be expected to talk to the crowd and to exchange ideas, and they're happy to do it. And so it winds up being a really exciting, pumped-up event. As a matter of fact, I had one lady who came to my workshop last year, and she did the summit, and she said, you know what, I just took the whole year and I implemented the things that I learned. And she said, now I have a website and I have a blog and I'm working on my book and I've hired an editor. And she said, I can't believe how much I've gotten done just by following the instructions that I learned at the summit. So this is a real hands-on. If you have listeners out there who are interested in becoming professional writers, earning a living as a writer and fulfilling that dream, the summit is a can't-miss conference. And John, did you want to tell them about the quote?
Hey, Stephen. My
hey, John.
Quote, well, I was talking to Larry, and I had been to another conference where I filled up about a half a notebook with notes from the various panels and discussions that went on. I came to the summit, I filled up one notebook and got better than halfway through a second one. That's how much information is at the summit. It is fantastic.
Oh, it definitely is. And I have to say that, you know, that instant euphoria that you were referring to on the first day, that's what I call the Larry Decay effect. You know, that's what happens.
right here, right now, my friend.
Right here, right now. I absolutely agree with that, and you know, and yeah, as I have been myself and seen that kind of effect, and very content rich. That's one thing that impressed upon me is just how content rich the summit is.
Well, thank you, Stephen. Real quickly, some of the other sessions are 12 Steps to Ebook Success, Promoting on a Shoestring, Endorsements and Reviews, The Do's and Don'ts of Starting a Writing Group, Freelance and Ghostwriting Opportunities, Getting the Facts Right, Fact Checking, and how to do that, how to use Scrivener to write a book, blogging, how to sell more fiction. That's always a challenge, especially in a specialty market. How do you sell fiction in a specialty market? Well, you can learn at the summit. We're going to have a class on LinkedIn, on editing with electronic software. So there's a whole lot of content there, and it's a good time. And we do conflict, unfortunately, this year with the other event you're going to be speaking on. But we have to share Stephen Zimmer with other events around the country. We can't have you all the time, man.
Oh, man. Well, this weekend I'm primarily just being a staff as opposed to guest, so I'll be working. But as far as finding you guys, I definitely want to give you a couple minutes to explain to people how to find you if they want to, come aboard for this year's event and any details involved with that.
Okay. You can learn more about the summit by going to businessofwritingsummit.com. It's businessofwritingsummit.com. I would encourage you to click on the page for speaker biographies to give you an idea of the caliber of people that we've got here at the summit. That would be typical from year to year. I would also encourage you to click on the sessions. Every session has a description of what session is going to be about. And conferences are concerned, writers' conferences, we're priced right about half of what other national conferences are. If you go to the San Francisco Writers Conference, we're a third of their cost. If you go to Florida Writers Annual Conference, we're half of their cost. The same with South Carolina. We're very competitively priced, and we feed you, we nourish you in more ways than one. And you can, I'll let Peggy tell you how to get in touch with her and John the same. I need to make a shameless plug here. I am finally an author. I do a lot of things behind the scenes for Peggy and her business. My book arrived literally in the mail today. It's Book Fairs for Authors. It's How to Leverage Book Fairs to Build Your Author Platform. And it's, available on Amazon.com. So I'm now legit. I've moved over to the dark side. I've joined the ranks of published authors. Let me let Peggy tell you how to get in touch with her.
Just like MC Hammer, you're too legit to quit, Larry Decay. There you go, man.
It's a great book, and it'll be a great book for any author that's thinking about doing a book fair. This is a great book. There's about several dozen book fair listings in the back of the book. A great resource, honestly. It's a nice book. If anyone wants to get in touch with me, my website is tbot.com. That's an acronym for The Business of Writing Today, tbot.com.
John, tell us about your new book.
Yes, I have a book that just came out, Stephen. It's an anthology. I took the infamous It Was a Dark and Stormy Night and combined myself with 17 other writers to describe dark and stormy nights, and it's everybody's different. It's very, very interesting. It just came out a couple of days ago. If anybody wants to get a hold of me, my website is johnwsmithauthor.com. You can't get much more easier or commoner than John W. Smith. Thank you. Thank you, Stephen. Have a great evening.
Oh, thank you. And, yeah, thank you for calling in tonight. I really wanted to, have this week be a nice spotlight on our two Louisville events that are near and dear to me. And, like I said, I'll try to clone myself somehow for next year. But thank you so much, Peggy, Larry, you guys are just wonderful people. And the value you do offer is fabulous. And John, I'm very excited about your new book. So, thank you very much for calling in tonight.
Yeah.
Thank you, Stephen.
Stephen, before you go, I got to share with your listeners a story about Stephen Zimmer, okay? For those of you who know Stephen Zimmer, he's a very cosmopolitan kind of guy. And I got a Facebook message from him today, and it was via his cell phone. And so you know how that Facebook has that annoying habit of identifying where you are when you see
your message. Oh, no, it's a catnip thing. Oh, no.
Yes. It said, I get this message from Stephen Zimmer, and it says, Catnip, Kentucky. And I'm like, I've lived in Kentucky all my life and never heard of a town called Catnip. And I looked it up, and by God, there is a catnip, Kentucky.
There is catnip, but I am in Lexington. I don't know why it does that. Yeah.
Yeah. But I just, man, you get around. You've even been to catnip, my friend.
Well, thank you very much. And that's a fine note to end our conversation on.
Thanks a lot for having us on the show, buddy.
Thank you. Thank you, Stephen. We appreciate it.
You take care, and good luck this weekend. Have a great event. Bye-bye.
Thanks, man.
Oh, wow. They got me with the catnip thing, guys. Yeah, we haven't haven't got our second caller in just yet, so we're you know, so but we will make a few comments among ourselves while we wait for our second guest to call in. But things are, catnip, Kentucky. Yeah, I don't know where that comes from. I have no idea. But every time I send something from my cell phone, it always identifies me as Catnip, Kentucky. So, but, you two have not gotten to go to the summit yet, I don't think. But I know Alex has probably at some point encountered Peggy on the circuit, I think, just because I know she's been to Mid-South Con. So, I think you guys may have bumped into each other before. But,
I was thinking that she seemed extremely familiar. Now, I had no idea that she was in Connect All of This, but I do just want to say that I've been to one of the writers' retreats, kind of like how they're offering here, and I do just want to back them up by saying, yes, you want to bring tons of notebooks, and you want to bring tons of working pens, pencils, whatever, because those things are gold. Those things are even gold for authors who consider themselves to be established, because the thing is, you might already be established, and you go to one of these functions, and you discover that one of the speakers has touched on something that you might have just briefly heard about, or you haven't even considered at all, and it can really help expand your horizon.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's the value of it. And, you know, large or small events can offer you, you know, the thing that can really help move your year forward. So, that's why I say always, you know, I support both large and small events alike, because they all have their
Agreed.
Advantages. And Michael has, I assume you agree too, sir.
Yes.
But we are going to talk a little bit. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that when you think that you've seen and heard everything, there's always more to see and hear and learn and no one knows everything, and everybody does things a little bit differently, and somebody's the way someone else does things, may hear about it for the first time and go, I have been doing it wrong my whole life.
Another thing about these shows is you could easily go to one event and one speaker could present an idea to you, and perhaps they did not speak it in your language. And then you go to another event, someone else brings it up, and they speak it more clearly. And also, this can be that second budge to go on and go the next step.
Is somebody drinking through a straw?
That's what I was wondering. I'm like, are we still here? And I was like looking at my phone.
All of a sudden I hear this slurping sound. It sounds like somebody's drinking something up their straw.
Yes, indeed. Stephen's like,
Stephen's going to the Monster Milkshake now.
Yeah, I actually like those Monster Muscle, the protein shakes, though, that they got out. Those are good. Yeah. But, well, I'll tell you what, let's go ahead and at least talk about the second one while we wait for our second guest to call in. But it is the one that I'm actually going to be working at this weekend, and Michael is actually a guest at it on Saturday. But it is very different in nature than the business of Writing International Summit. It is Fandom Fest, which is going to be a gala affair in downtown Louisville at the Convention Center, and it's definitely a big event, and and the name says it, Fandom, and they have a ton of celebrity guests doing the autograph and photo thing. They've got lots of wild stuff like cosplay, and just it's a huge vendor hall, and yeah, it's definitely a big event. I know Michael can vouch for that. Did you come last year, Alex, or have you not been yet?
I have not been yet. I've wanted to go though.
Yeah, Michael. Yeah, we've got a cool literary track going on at it. Yeah, there's, and I know a lot of people are very stoked about Star Trek Next Generation cast being there. Most all of them, and I know they got a bunch of Power Rangers in their anniversary thing, and I know they've got one of the Doctor Who's. I think it's the seventh Doctor Who, the fellow that also played Radagast the Brown in The Hobbit, and
right.
Yeah, and
there's a couple of people from Serenity. There's the greatest American hero, William Cass himself, is going to be there.
Yeah, yeah, it's definitely loaded with celebrities. Now this year, one of the things that impressed me when I went down there is like last year, I mean they doubled in size. And Mike and I can tell you, I mean they just got hit with a tidal wave crowd wise. I mean it was easily, 40,000 plus easily. And,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, at one point they even had to shut down traffic in the convention center because it was just so crazy. But, this year they've actually made some changes to it, and they've got everything in just the convention center during the day. So there's only one location as opposed to having things both in the Galt House and in the convention center, which I think is great. To have it kind of concentrated in one building. And at night, I know they have some great stuff, like their body art thing and masquerade and all kinds of stuff going on in the Galt House. But it's kind of cool that at least, in the daytime, everything's kind of concentrated in one area. So it's also another cool thing they're doing is they've got a parade going on, and that's new.
That's Friday night, right? Is that tomorrow night or Friday night?
I actually have the handy-dandy guide here. I think I can actually look this up and be absolutely precise about it. So, yeah, it's going to take about an hour from what I heard. So they've got a fairly large number of vehicles, and I think they've got a couple hundred people participating in it at least, and the city of Louisville, of course, is participating in it. It is actually Thursday. The parade starts at the Belvedere, and there's a party at the Galt House following the parade, and it is one of the Thursday activities. So, yes, sir, the parade is actually on Thursday, and then Friday, the vendor hall opens at 5 p.m. And then, of course, Saturday is going to be a big day there. And then it rounds out on Sunday. And then with after hours at the Galt House on Friday and Saturday. So, but they've got some new stuff here. And then, like I said, they've got everything concentrated in one building. And also heard that they're blocking off 3rd Street, the city. And they're going to have a fleet of food trucks brought in to create kind of like a food court thing, which is a new development. Which is kind of cool. Yeah, because that's going to be like right next to the convention center, and I think that's going to encourage a lot of people to hang out. And as you know, it's tough places to sit sometimes at conventions. So.
Right. Well, the one thing I love about going down to Fandom Fest, in addition to Fandom Fest itself, is that downtown Louisville has the little right off the convention center. So like when the gates close like Saturday night at 7 o'clock or whatever, there's this whole downtown area that is basically blocked off and covered over. You can walk to everything, but it's got restaurants and nightclubs, and it's just you know, an awesome place to hang out.
Well, guess what, guys? The man of the hour is here. He has called in, and it is with great fanfare that I would like to present to you the founder, the guy that has worked very hard. He's built this up from the Fright Night Film Festival and taken it through its evolution into Fandom Fest. Very difficult thing to do. You have to go through a lot of tough years to build something like this up. So he's definitely a guy with vision and a maverick in the promotion world. And the one, the only, Ken Daniels. Welcome to the show.
Yay. Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
There he is, the man of the hour. Yeah, and I know you're incredibly busy.
Actually, right now we're in the midst of our office. We have 8 people here.
Very cool. Yeah, I knew you were in the tidal wave because, things start heavy tomorrow. How's things going, and give us the lowdown.
Things are going actually really well. This has been the probably, if I want to use the word, less dramatic behind the scenes than any other event we put on. After last year, where we were extraordinarily successful at reaching a lot of people and then having some difficulties with a few coordinators who worked hard, but it just didn't happen where they weren't able to bring in certain things that they were said they were going to do, which created sort of a difficulty for us in the volunteer level. So what happened was, we had a shortage of volunteers and a whole lot of people. This year, we have scaled back about 15 to 20% on purpose. We're in one location, which is wonderful to make it easy. As a matter of fact, we were discussing it, how few doors there are compared to having 2 locations. So that makes a big difference. Where now Literary, which used to be in the lower level last year, they're going to be in the 200s, so you're going to have Q&As, you know, right next to them, which are going to filter other people when you have the signs. So now you're really literally within 40 feet of major Q&As. So that's all up to, you know, people just, you know, putting signs out and marketing for that. And everything in that capacity is going exceedingly well. I'm already in my mind, already on the other conventions already. We're working on this, and we've got some great people we brought in. But this year we're hoping. So everything seems pretty even. We've made things pretty apparent. You know, we've added an app, which is going to be great, so people can get more information. We have signs in so many places. So if people can't find something, they're choosing not to find it, because we've got 8-foot-tall signs in the middle of the lobbies showing people where they're at and where they're going, and, you know, schedules and maps right next to it so they can pick up and take. We've added the smart apps for the smart devices. We have brought things down to a certain level where we decided that no day programming anywhere but at the convention center. So that's wonderful. We're hoping for steadiness, and if we get a much bigger amount than we expect, then we've done our work again. But right now we're just trying to kind of bring some really great vibes. We personally, we're guesstimating about 15% less. So far, so good, and it's with good people like you guys who are spreading the word, and we're trying to develop this great event here. So we hope we can keep going.
Yeah, before you came on, I was actually giving them a little bit of a preview, because I was so blown away at the walkthrough when you were going over some of the new additions. Like you said, it's contained in the center, but you have some new wrinkles this year, because you have the parade on Thursday, and then you have the food court, which I think is a genius addition. So, yeah, you've got some new stuff that you're implementing as well.
the food court is something we've been working on, and I'm going to give a little bit of a surprise for this next year. We're really working on having a a true trade show convention during the week where we can deal with filmmakers and artists and authors and just everybody in general, tech people, tech, you know, techs or geek-oriented things where people can come during the week. So we're going to expand the size of the show so that we have the Vendor Park convention the last weekend, and we're trying to work on starting it on the weekend before. Now, that doesn't mean that it will be a full-on, like, the convention experience. We're looking at it like a music fest, you know, really cool events before that. I'll give you an example. Here is my interpretation of it. You bring in an Anne Rice, let's say, okay, a type of author. And let's say Anne Rice has a huge event where we just focus on her and one other person on the Saturday before. That kicks it off. Whether it's a big reading by her, whether it's a silent reading, a discussion, Q&A. So she takes up 3 hours, then we bring in somebody else, and it's 6 hours. So let's say the next day, on a Sunday, we do a run. And then we do, during the week, let's say we add the conference for people who want to become better, more proficient writers, mm-hmm. filmmakers, whatever it may be. So that's kind of a heads up. So this year, the parade was an addition. Last year was Kevin Smith on Wednesday. So we're testing the waters to really bring a Comic-Con feel, but we want it to be similar to a South by Southwest with a convention as well, where we can help everybody benefit from what they're doing in the arts and creative field.
Yeah, and in addition to the programming itself, there's a lot of fun activities too, because I know that there's some pretty nice stuff involving cosplay, masquerade, and all that. Do you want to give people a picture of things that, you know, that will surround it even after hours?
Yeah, absolutely. In the after hours, we have two raves, one sort of a costume rave, all ages on Friday. Saturday, we have the other rave for more adult, you know, kind of fair. We have a masquerade ball, or a real masquerade ball that costumes must be worn, masks must be worn on Friday night. Mistress Catherine takes care of that. She did an amazing job last year. We've got Whorehound is doing an event for music, so there's going to be three cool bands. We just announced that 2 weeks ago or 10 days ago. We've got the award ceremony, the drive-in event. We actually brought that back. We moved it to October last year because that's when we would normally do it, and it was the first time we didn't do it directly with the show in about 6 or 7 years. So we're going to take Bumblebee and the guys up there watching Transformers on the big screen at the Georgetown Drive-In, which is about 8 minutes away from downtown Louisville. Then we're going to have a special showing of some special films, late night panels for anime and other stuff, and basically just relaxing and partying and networking. And both nights are going to be filled. We decided to kind of balance it out this year, you guys. We wanted people not to get whiplash when they looked at our program and say, oh, my God, you've got 400 hours of extra programming. It's impossible to see it all. And it is. But we want people to get their money's worth. And if you pay for a Saturday pass for one day, you're getting 14 hours of entertainment for $40. Now, kids get in free, 10 and under. So you've got all this activity you can go to. So instead of paying $20 for a movie and you're there for an hour and a half, double that, you get 14 hours. You get to see the actors in the movies. You get to talk about it. You get to be entertained. You get to party, you get to have fun, you get to spend the whole day and enjoy yourself. But we're really proud of the literary track this year. We really liked what literary has done, tying in the literary to the pop Comic-Con aspect of it. And I think a lot of fans are really going to really enjoy that kind of scene.
Yeah, we think that's going to work really good. I've heard nothing but good back on that so far. And the location that we are at is just, like you said, it's phenomenal. We're right straight shot down from the vendor hall, right next to Q&A rooms, and so it's a great location.
Oh, yeah.
And
you guys, I mean, you're one of the best players. I mean, you're literally directly across from the film festival as well. So,
yeah.
And plus, you're right next to the VIP lounges, so all the VIPs are going to go back there. So, it's going to have awesome traffic, awesome people just kind of who are really into what you're dealing with, and we're excited about it. And thanks, guys, for really supporting it. And Stephen, thanks for being a part of you are the literary director, and thanks for hanging in there. We've had some really cool experiences, a couple of bumpy rides, but like any great convention, the Great Dragon Con, has been around for 27 years, and 15, 16 years ago, when a lot of people really enjoyed going, it still took them 15 years to get, it took them 15 years to get to the level that people really enjoyed. And then as you get to a certain size, sometimes a lot of people don't really like that. And that's what we're trying to avoid. We don't want to get so big that we lose. We want to be big enough where we don't lose that intimacy, but still have enough that we can bring big things in and have a good range with that. Because these things are not moneymakers, and people, Stephen, this. You've been to our house many times. You know what we drive, and you know how we live.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Everything we do goes right back into the show just to break even, so that we can get money back we've spent. And we're fans too, and we do it for the fans. We do it in a business way, so we hate telling people sometimes no, but we've had to say no more often in the past 2 years, because if you don't say no, then people don't really respect what you have. And that goes for you guys as authors. You sometimes have to say no to things. But as you said, Stephen, saying no, valuing your product, which is our show, you're valuing your books. You guys you talked to me, Stephen, about this new thing that Amazon's doing. It's important for you guys to all understand that, you guys got to find ways to keep the value up for your books and what you do, because what you do is very valuable. Because as an owner of 4,000 books myself, I believe that the stories and what is brought to life through that can help people to survive, because people don't realize the books have saved my life, from reading and looking at life in a different way and challenging it. So that value comes from valuing that thing and choosing to. So that's what we have to do for our value as well as authors, filmmakers, artists. Valuing the show means, it's okay to make some, off of a show. And after you put in full-time work, working 45 hours a week, can you make $10,000 a year or $20,000? Yes. You value that. So that's why we're trying to change how we do things. We're trying to get rid of those people that aren't our customers. We want everybody to come who is our customer, but maybe some people really aren't the best customers. You want people who are your customers to enjoy your show. You want them to enjoy your people, which is why we try to bring certain amounts of vendors versus not having too many of certain types, so the vendors can win, our customers can win, because you don't want to have a show filled up with 100% comic books. You want jewelry and toys and authors,
sure,
and posters and filmic. You need that variety, because if people don't get something unique, they're just going to go to the local store. Sure, they can buy it online, but the reason why they come to these things, to meet an author, if they see their book, and then maybe later they go to Amazon, they say, hey, I love the experience. I love talking with you. I picked up your book and I enjoyed it. You sell the book. So that's what we're trying to do with our show, is get all of you to do what you guys are doing, which is sell the show by telling people to come see you at your booth at the show, come up and talk to you, and talk about, this is this great new book I've got. Let me tell you a little bit about it. Come out and see me, and I can tell you about it and things like that. So you're going to see a lot of neat things like that. This year, guys, we have a main event vendor stage where people are going to be teaching and demoing and talking. So that'll be a new experience for us. That's graduating to the bigger levels, as you would say. And in the future, we want to definitely keep that going with the literary, maybe bringing in something where you guys can do some really unique thing on the main stage, because that's something that I think will be just incredible.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that, like, one of the things that I just love, I mean, you just got a killer venue. I mean, I definitely think the convention center is just such a nice facility, and it can contain a big crowd and still be enjoyable. I mean, I think that's one of the cool things.
Yeah. And it can be very relaxing, too. We've got carpeted Q&A rooms. We've got such roomy, like the hallway you go down. I love that hallway, that walkway as you go to the level two rooms. It's like you're in a space. I don't know, hallway where it's right for so many things. It's like a 2001 Space Odyssey look to it. It's just a big, long, white tunnel.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's cool. You know what I'm talking about? It's really, really cool. So that's we're very fortunate. We have the whole building this year. We don't share it with anybody. That was part of our problem last year. We had to share it. This year we don't. So it's pretty simple. It's upstairs, downstairs. And most of everything is going to be upstairs with the anime and gaming on the level one floors where you guys were at. So that's cool because we actually have pro gamers coming in for the first time, straight from wins off of Las Vegas at one of the largest events in gaming in the country. So we're very fortunate. And thanks to you guys, we're going to maintain that. And just tell everybody to come out and check out the literary. Sit down, you know, enjoy the day. Get a weekend pass and see everything. Come back and enjoy, you know, get a hotel room. Don't forget to tell people that. People forget sometimes at the last minute, and they forget that it'll sell out, and then when they go to get a hotel room, they want to be there to hang out with everybody, because part of it is hanging out till 2 and 3 in the morning and just talking to people. I love that.
Yeah, and as hotels go, I mean, the Galt House is, I mean, just absolutely fabulous to stay at. And so, tell people about getting the hotel rooms and getting passes and how to do that. Yeah, definitely want to cover that.
You can get passes online now, but we always sell passes at the door unless we hit capacity. And I will tell people, we never not start selling. We always let the flow go down. Last year, 2012, we stopped it for 30 minutes. We did the same thing last year. We're not going to have to do that this year because of the size of the place. We got the whole building, so we don't have to worry about that. So they can come out, they can go to www.phantomfest.com, order tickets on site. They can also there's a link on there for the hotel. They can get their hotel room. And basically, everything's pretty much there, self-contained. Get the app. It's online, and we're going to be advertising for the app heavily through the weekend. Get the app so you can see what's going on and what changes, because there are always 10% changes when you get there. Like, this place got this one got moved to this room, or the Q&A is 15 minutes behind, or so and so had to cancel their flight on Friday and come in Saturday. You know.
And yeah, and the website, the main website, fandomfest.com. And as far as, like, finding out some of the show info there. And, the app is great. I mean, that's been is also a great new addition. And, but for you personally, though, this has got to be a good – I mean, the vibe I see with you, and I know you because I've worked with you for years, you just seem like you're feeling better, you know, heading into this year. I can sense that, you know, you're feeling a little more relaxed, I guess, you know. I think that, you know, you've been working hard and making tweaks, and last year was gigantic, of course. But it seems like your demeanor has been really, you know, it seems like you're really feeling good about this year.
You know, Stephen, I appreciate you noticing that. We're feeling good because what we decided was, you know, we can go that big, but we decided we wanted to kind of make it a little bit less on purpose so there would be more fun for people, so we could smooth out this year and see, okay, well, if we do this, we do this. If we don't do this, we do this. And I feel more confident with that and comfortable because I've been doing this for 15 years. And when we grew so much 4 years ago, the one, you know, 2011 when you came on board, that's when we really started to grow. And we've gotten more confident because the industry is at a maturing level. There's a lot of new shows that pop up, and a lot of them are going to go away because they won't be here for long. Our show, we want to be here for 25 years because what we're doing is making it a show for the region. Our city loves us. We're working on doing more things with the city. I'm comfortable because I have a great crew now that's really, really, really working hard at it. So I decided that, you know, there's no reason not to let all the volunteers do what they do and not worry about it. If something goes wrong, something minor goes wrong. This year it's going to be simple stuff like maybe somebody couldn't buy a ticket off the website, so they're a little upset, and that happens. But you know, that's not really that's no reason for me to lose my peace of mind, so to speak. You know, we're not doing that anymore.
Right.
We're at tour level. You and I've talked about this, Stephen. We've grown to the point that we've got some huge surprises mm-hmm. in the next 2 years, and one mm-hmm. of them is internationally. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens with those, and you know as well as I do, I'm starting several other business ventures. One of them will be teaching, because I love to teach. That's really that's what I love.
Yeah, we've observed you, because not only as far as, like, I know Michael and I have both been with you since the early days with Fright Night that you evolved Fandom Fest out of. And so I know Michael, and you can speak to this. I mean, you and I were both there exhibiting before it even jumped and exploded into Fandom Fest. I mean, Mike, you remember those days?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, the early years were a lot smaller, a lot of smaller venues, a lot smaller shows. But I've never been to a Fright Night or a Fandom Fest where I just haven't had a blast. So
yeah, every time, yeah, it's, you've always had a blast. I know that. And Ken, yeah, we were just
let me just say this, that the programming doesn't stop when the hall closes, because there's movies at night, there's parties at night. I mean, there is something for everybody. So I mean, a lot of times you think you're having a good time during the day, just wait until the doors close and you start going to stuff at night, and the night stuff is sometimes much, you know, more interesting than what happens during the day. If you can believe that.
Sometimes, yeah. Oh man.
Just ask Rodney.
Yeah, Rodney knows all about that. Yeah, we have many, many good stories from Fandom Fest, Ken. Some which we probably can't tell on the air, but there.
No, we can't. We most certainly cannot.
is this a G-rated show? Because I could tell some. I could tell some of mine. I love the stories. I really. That's one of the reasons why I really want this to be taken over by people who you know, a lot of the volunteers and volunteer staff, because everybody volunteers. Nobody makes any money for really the work that they put into it, but we love it, and we love hearing the stories. The stories are what makes it work, and that's sort of something we've discussed. We want to be able to really develop the connections, the deep connections with people. Because isn't that what storytelling is about as well? You're trying to develop a connection with your audience. And
yeah, exactly.
That's right. Just as important. You know, it's so important. So many good authors, storytellers out there, actors, people are just trying to develop a connection to their customer, their fan, their client. And when you do, it just really changes. And we think we've done that. We decided we wanted to have our customers, who we have a deep connection with, who we love. We, you know, there's that, what, you know, if you have 25,000 people show up, if 10% don't like you, so you got 1,500 people that didn't have a good time, but everybody else had a blast. You want the deep connection with those people. Just like some people that I've looked at some of the authors that you guys have. I've seen some of the reviews online on Amazon. You know, when in the off season when I have time, and I've seen some people rip to shreds some of the authors, and I think to myself, well, that's uncalled for. First of all, I've read the book. It's a good book. It may not be to the taste of the person reading it, but because it's not your taste doesn't mean it's not good. It just means you have a different taste. So I believe we should look at it like, don't put down somebody like that.
Well, we got about 45 seconds, Ken, so do you want to give a last call for
FandomFest
here?
Hey, FandomFest.com. Hope to see everybody there. Can't wait to see Steven and you guys. If you guys need anything, just let us know, and we hope to see everybody out there.
You bet, and we'll have
Looking
you back
forward to another great
special,
time.
Special Ken
right,
Daniels
I'll
show
say,
with
fellas.
Tales of Fandom Fest in the future here. Follow-up
All
show.
All right, we'll do it.
So take care, Ken, and have a good night, man. Bye-bye.
All right. Take care. You too. Bye-bye.
Night, everybody, and next week, join us again for another episode of the Star Chamber Show, 9 o'clock Eastern every Wednesday. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.